love. Let's go. My, it's no problem to hold you, tongue stroke you, please you like I'm supposed to. Touch spots that ain't ever been touched, and I won't stop till both these squirrels get they nuts. Hey, you know it's good when we freaking king size squeaking after I ease in. If you was with me, baby, 24/7, best believe that every single day would be a sweet day. Girl, you sweeter than a cheesecake. If you want beef, prophecy will be a beefcake. I make love to you till you fall asleep, leave you with sweet dreams between the sheets.
Was the night before that night. I was born on that day, but not last night. Once upon a time, I had my cash right. Blood called, he ain't act right. I'm far from a slow nigga.
What's good, everybody? It's man Big Don coming live natural to the True Players Podcast episode with my brother Joey G on the one and twos. Bless you guys with another beautiful episode. You know, you guys don't get tired of us. You know, we be slacking with our episodes, and now we're gonna hit you guys with like a flurry of episodes. And Flurry. There's so many episodes I gotta put out. It's not even funny. I've done written like 6 episodes. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And it's like we just gotta put them out. We gotta produce them and put them out there for the people. So once again, Joey G, introduce yourself to the people.
Once again, it's your man, Joey G, host of Beer Convo and Family, co-host of True Players Podcast. You know, we're back at it again, talking that stuff, walking that walk. I'm ready to do it. Let's get it.
That's indeed. We're going to continue with our conversation from the last episode in regards to entitlement. And this is a subject that I felt that me and Joey G spoke about it offline and how we want to address that on the podcast. Initially, I want to address it on IG Live, but I felt that, you know, with my brother Joey G, in the house, right, we gotta do a regular podcast about the situation and speak about it, because I felt it's very important to speak about entitlement, because mm-hmm. entitlement could have a negative effect on a lot of things, relationships, raising your children, by setting a bad example about thinking that they feel entitled to certain things. Everything in this life, we the only entitlement we have, it was the gift of life. That's the only entitlement we have. Mm-hmm. Now it's given by God Himself, but since we're here, mm-hmm. we gotta work hard.
Yeah.
So that's the best thing I could say about it, and things that this entitlement divides families, divides friendships, it hurts friendships, it hurts relationships. Yeah. Even hurts the workplace relationship as well, with the sense of entitlement.
Yes.
Creates toxic environments.
Yes.
And things like that. Let me tell you something, bro. You know, you know I do my thing with the financial services and stuff like that. I'm trying to expand my agency and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. the people I'm interviewing, which, you know, we had some good interviews, but they didn't follow through or what have you. But there were some people who felt they were entitled to the position in which they were dictating to me, let's do it next week. You got time for me next week, so you know, I'm going to do it next week. I'm like, no, this is not how it's, that's not going, how it's going to work. You're here to work in my agency.
Right.
So you're here to work in my agency for the time being until I can help you develop into building your own agency.
Right.
By you acting like that, just shows me one thing. It shows me that you're not coachable. And you're not someone who I want to work with.
True.
You know what I'm saying? I had a guy yesterday. Our meeting was supposed to be on Zoom. Mm-hmm. He told me straight up, well, since I can't be on Zoom, I guess we got to do it by phone call. You should have seen the look on my face when he told me that. I was like, you know what? I wanted to go say, go F yourself and go for another opportunity. You know what I'm saying? Right. I'm not going to work with you.
Right.
Work with me is it has to be give and take. Not you taking it, I'm me giving. No. I don't care what race you are. And see, that herein lies the problem. Black man speaking to a white man. The black man is the boss. The white man is trying to get to the position. And the white man still wants to have control. Yeah. And not just the white men either. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry to say Latinos do that too.
No, every Asians, denomination.
Asians do that too. But the black people, as far as the mindset of them is, the black people is beneath everybody. And that's a bad way of going about things, because when it's time to make some money, it doesn't matter what color you are, this, that, and the other. The person is able to put you in a position to make you some good income.
Mm-hmm.
Keep that shit, throw that shit out the window, and let's work together to make this income.
Let's see, we could speak on different denominations and things like that. And I guarantee you, if you have a person of the same color mm-hmm. and feels they're in a privileged position, if they feel they're in a privileged position, they're going to come down on you like their shit don't stink. It's just it's just a matter of personal integrity. It's a mm-hmm. matter of being humble in every situation. That's what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to do business with somebody, you got to be humble. If you don't know the situation, if you know don't know the business, you have to learn. You have to learn from somebody else. So that means you have to shut up and open your ears mm-hmm. and be receptive, period. Exactly. There's no color. Close your eyes. Exactly. Close your eyes on the situation. Just open your ears in the situation and learn. Learn something.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to do that, open your ears and learn something, I guarantee you'll get farther. Because a blind person trying to walk is bound to stumble on something if he's not given direction.
Exactly. And you know what the problem is? We live in a country which is supposedly the land of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
but we get caught up in socialism and classism.
Yeah.
And racism.
Yeah.
So the opportunity that's presented to you is very jaded. You know what I'm saying? It's jaded. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not going to let this guy be my boss because he's black. Or I'm not going to let this guy be my boss because he's Caribbean.
Right.
And I'm from Africa. I don't bow down to Caribbeans. Right. Or the black, I don't know, the black Americans say that they want to work for a Caribbean person because they think that they come in and think they're better than me.
I'm going to make you laugh real quick. Uh-huh. I'm going to make you, it's like a pure blood vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to somebody who was basically bitten in. Mm-hmm. I was born a vampire. he's a part-time vampire. You got bitten in. It's like mm-hmm. that.
But you know what it is. Know what it is, bro. When it comes to this sense of entitlement in the black race, it's what mm-hmm. it's what divides us completely with the sense of entitlement. Because you don't see the Asians. With a Chinese, Filipino, Japanese, they form Voltron to make that money. The white men forget it. They form Voltron to make that money. But
let's be clear. Uh-huh. Let's be clear. When it comes to Asians, and I know we have different variations of Asians, from mm-hmm. what I've seen, they do have cliques.
Of course.
They have cliques. But the greater good is getting the job done.
And making that money.
And making the money. The first thing on the table is to make the money and get mm-hmm. the job done. But here's where the priority lies with them.
Mm-hmm.
Make the money. We're making the money by doing the job.
Right.
If we can make this job last
mm-hmm.
to continue making money, we're going to do that. We're all going to work together in that. Mm-hmm. And anything outside of that, we're getting rid of.
Correct.
Trust me. I've worked with Chinese people. I work with Korean people in the same vicinity, and it's a different environment coming from the culture that we come from, an American culture, mm-hmm. and working with them, totally different mindset. Mm-hmm. When you come to the job, there's no this.
Mm-hmm.
That freedom of talking and saying how you feel, it's entertaining to them
mm-hmm.
to a certain degree. But if it's
affecting the money,
or the work quality,
mm-hmm.
move him someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
Quick, fast. Someplace, quick, fast, and they'll
they'll put you in a different position and basically phase you out.
Mm-hmm.
They won't just fire you. They'll phase you out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, there's no more work. Sorry.
you know. Let's talk about that a little bit, bro, before we get into the raising a child aspect of mm-hmm. entitlement. You remember when I tried to bring you in to do Amway?
Yes.
And I had someone there who was not of our ilk. He was Asian.
Yeah.
No, I mean, grand scheme of things, he was a very nice guy, but he didn't adjust to the atmosphere.
I'm trying to remember. Was that during the same time I was working? It might have been. No. I was still in Manhattan. It was right after, though.
No, I think he was still living with
out here in Huntington.
Yes. But you came to my house. I had the event at my house. The meeting, I had the presentation.
No, I was going. Yeah, I was traveling.
Yes.
I was traveling.
We had
so the it was around the same time.
Yes. Yeah. We had the presentation.
Yeah.
At my house.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he said is, "Oh, we having a party here." I'm like, because I had bought some Popeye's chicken, had some food there to ease the mood. To not make it so about business. To ease the mood, we're having a general conversation about an opportunity to grow, to make some money and grow a business. And his whole aspect, his whole mentality was like, oh, we're having a party? I'm like, bro.
Allow me to introduce you to how we do things around here. I'm going to ease you into the situation. All you have to do is follow suit. We'll get you in the door. Let's do your thing. But let us do it this way.
And he insulted the cousin that was there mm-hmm. by saying that, oh, something about him being at Walgreens. Let me mm-hmm. say that, Walgreens. I'm like, how the hell? You trying to help me grow my team and you here insulting them. Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
But it's a cultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
To challenge your position,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost like saying, "Is that the best you could do?"
Yes, but the thing is that the beautiful thing is you understand where I'm coming from is if you want someone to join your team, you have to build that relationship of trust and credibility. When you insult someone's job that they work hard for 10 years at the time, 10 years that they invested in, the last thing you want to do is insult them for doing that.
Right.
And that's what turned the cousin off and also turned you off. Because I mentioned that he said something to you
mm-hmm.
that offended you as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you doing me that south, you still came down to the office where they were doing it, and you came down and saw a meeting and stuff to do me that solid, you know, which I appreciate. I always appreciate you for that, man, because you always, no matter what, you always sit, stand by me and be like, oh, I'm going to come support the man.
Supporting it's not just about the support. The support's always going to be there. You don't mm-hmm. have to ever deny that. I won't support you in those things. Another part of that was the education. I've never been in those situations. This is networking. This is learning different aspects of business that you haven't been a part of. Right. Sometimes it's not the picture that I paint.
Right.
It's the picture that I haven't seen yet. So sometimes you have to go to those environments to see something different, and something will click in your head. Mm-hmm. There's many conversations that we had after that that mm-hmm. triggered something else and sparked the interest in something else or lit a match for an idea somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And trust me, in those days, we had a lot.
We had a lot. And the thing is, too, the reason why I left, I couldn't wait for my 1 year to be done. So they told me I had to re-up for my $1.60. I was like, hell no, I ain't doing that shit. It was a turnoff. And I used to go to the meetings every week. I used to be committed, man. Go to the mm-hmm. meetings. This dude, I wore a suit. This dude was like, yo, you looking sharp, man. I'm looking at him like he was crazy. I'm like, this is what I do. I would know how to wear a suit. This is not new to me.
Right.
So you got to understand the people you're dealing with. It wasn't the way, it wasn't the fact they said I would look sharp. It was the way he said it. Mm.
Like he was expecting something else.
He thought I was going to be coming there being ghetto and shit. But meanwhile, I was the flyest motherfucker in the fucking building. And that building was hired at least 250 people in that building.
Right.
I don't even look better than the head honcho, the diamond dude, of the head of the whole hierarchy. I look better than him. Because when I walked into that damn building, yo, everyone was looking at me. Right. Everyone's wondering, who's this guy?
Right, but that's the mentality. When you get to certain spaces, that's the whole mentality. The mentality is to walk into the place like you own it. Even if you haven't even gotten there yet. The question that everybody is going to want to know, that question that you put in everybody's head is, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And if you could do that, that sparks interest. That sparks the willingness to educate you further and get you into position where they need you to be.
The only regret, bro, is that I didn't take down people's phone numbers to keep in contact with them when I stopped doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. For to let them see the opportunity that I'm in right now. Which is much more fruitful education for a lot of people because it's about money. It's about growing your money, setting yourself up for retirement, setting yourself up to leave a legacy to your family, a true legacy. Not just selling detergent and stuff like that, but a true legacy.
Right.
Financial planning, you know, building a budget. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't do the toothpastes and the you call that the soaps. Uh-huh. The energy drinks were cool.
Yeah, that was the only thing that was good. actually, I got somebody. I know somebody I met.
And the supplements.
And the supplements. That was about it. But the makeup was that was an opportunity. That was mostly for women because the women who did the makeup made a lot of money.
It could have been for us too, but it's just. It's not a comfortable position culturally for us to be in that sales position.
Right.
Culturally, men selling makeup at that time, not a good position. Unless you're in the acting, acting, or you know a lot of people who's in the beauty care, so it wouldn't matter.
Right.
I value those times though, walking into those spaces and the networking, just seeing the networking and how that worked, because I understand this is before social media got to the point where it is now, where you have different venues where you could go to. You have Twitter, you have Facebook, you have Snapchat, you have TikTok, YouTube. You have all these venues that are open now for you to get your knowledge across different spaces and talk to people on different platforms. But at that time, it was more about word of mouth and actually engaging with people on a personal level. Mm-hmm. So being in those spaces, yeah, it was an eye opener. Yeah, it was educational. Yeah, it triggered certain ideas to come forth.
Right.
But you have to get outside of the prism of privilege and expecting.
Yes.
You have to get outside of that box. Once you do that, then those doors and opportunities open.
Mm-hmm.
The willingness to engage new information.
True indeed, bro. True indeed. I'm trying. We talk about that. I'm looking for that one of the people on my team that I was cool with. That just to see if they want to join me in what I'm doing right now, which I think is much more fruitful for the people.
Not for nothing. I did not. I may not have liked the products that Amway sell as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I knew where I was at the time, and I knew my market as far as the people I was talking to. There's nothing I could have did with that there. But if I was in a different space, in a different area, I could have probably made that work because I knew that market area.
Mm-hmm.
Like I take that same Amway stuff and I take it to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
The area that I was in, people would run with that. Oh, it's cheap. Oh, it does this. Okay, it's simple stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll buy that.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes to me. I don't have to go get it.
Right.
These are all the marketing things at the time that I understood.
Mm-hmm.
But let's rewind. I was in Huntington at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I selling Amway to?
It was a tough sell, but the moral of the story was, and any opportunity that you deal with, you're only going to make a move based on the person who's presenting it. It has nothing to do with the product. It has nothing to do with anything else. And I'm gonna tell you straight out, yo, the guy was a cool guy, but I guess he got caught up. He got caught up with the you know what it is? You can't lose yourself on presenting an opportunity to somebody. And he got caught up in the Amway way of thinking, and he lost himself when he was delivering to us. When I was trying to bring him down a few notches to be comfortable with us, and we'd be comfortable with him, he didn't grasp it.
No, you know what? Meeting him, I think the first time we met was in the mall. He was with his family.
Uh-huh.
This is what sparked the invitation to the house and everything like that. We were at the mall.
Yeah.
And we caught each other in passing.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunity was presented and a date was set for the presentation.
Right.
Upon meeting him, the first impression was he's a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear his spiel. I want to hear what he has to say as far as a presentation. We can go through with it. I'm willing to be there, and we'll work through that and see how everything goes. Upon meeting him, as far as the presentation was concerned, certain things I didn't like, but at the same time, I was still open-minded. It was like, he's uncomfortable. He doesn't know the situation. So he's coming from the playbook. Mm-hmm. I understand this because, Dom, you know this. I've done door-to-door.
Uh-huh.
I've done door-to-door. I understand that whole spiel.
We've both done Citibank.
Right. I've done Citibank. I literally did door-to-door, too. Something similar to Amway. It was called something else at the time.
Uh-huh. But
back then, they were doing something door-to-door. Also, selling quill supplies and everything like that, which is online, quill.com. Go handle that. For your supply needs, something like Staples, Target, all that. Yeah.
Yep.
but going back to those days, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give him a chance. Even the guy I was working with back in the day, he was Asian, came with the suit. Well, I'm talking about the fitted. This dude had the fitted button down. He was the first one to show me how to get the tie exactly that nice that diamond look on your tie. He was the first one to show me that. I was like, yo, this is hot. I gotta learn how to do that. But working that situation, you meet a lot of different people and you build the tolerance and you gain humbleness.
Right.
You understand. After a while, it becomes natural. Like, yo, I know these people are probably going to say no, but let me give them a reason to say yes.
Right.
Let me give them a reason to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
You move away from the conversation of what is in the script to how you doing today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, y'all doing good? Mm-hmm. Can I interest you in something free today? Mm-hmm. That sounds good, doesn't it?
Right.
It's something you probably already need that I have that I mm-hmm. can give you. That's probably cheaper than what you're getting right now.
Right.
That's all I got to say about it. I'm not trying to sell you nothing. Right. I'm just trying to give you what I know. That's right. It. And that was a spiel from back in the day. I still mm-hmm. remember that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I incorporated my own words.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't speak to you from the text. If I spoke to you from the text, it sounded robotic.
Yeah.
I didn't like doing it that way. I walked mm-hmm. into a business. I could read the situation. I could read a person's eye movement, body gesture, all of that, wasting our time. Right. Don't got time for that. Let's move on. But this, the door-to-door, as opposed to working people telephone-wise, a little different.
Mm-hmm.
A little different, because on the phone, you got to get personal quickly.
Yeah.
Door-to-door is more eye contact, body gesture, body language. Okay, we're done with this conversation. Moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're that fast, you look around the room, see something that you can actually connect with,
mm-hmm.
and work that angle.
Right.
Oh, shoot, you like the Jets? I like the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Give them a little bit of conflict. Oh, fuck that team. Yeah, fuck that team.
Yeah.
give that opening.
That's true.
You got to work it.
That's so true. That's so true. And then that's what I like to mention about the entitlement aspect of the situation. They come from entitled, but not understanding building relationships with people. No matter the person is with it or not, is how you the impression that you leave them with. That's the most important thing. And I think the sense of entitlement kind of blocks people from doing that.
I'm gonna give you a quick example.
Mm-hmm.
On my wall on the right side,
mm-hmm.
we had your cousin to the show before.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a part of the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rapper. Mm-hmm. Raps. He did the intro to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He's seen that I have a hat that says Rap Star.
Mm-hmm.
His initial reaction was to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Not understanding where the hat came from.
Oh, for serious, that your wife, my sister, wrote.
Wrote on.
Mm-hmm.
A conversation would have remedied that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a thought process of, what are you talking about?
See,
but this is when you're in those situations, you don't see the whole picture. You don't get the whole picture until somebody tells you the whole picture.
And the thing is that's that mentality that keeps people down too. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes if you want to get to the door, you got to humble yourself.
I didn't know anything about this series.
Uh-huh.
I've been around a lot of rap stars. I've been around a lot of rap stars. I've been around a lot of artists and people that sang and things like that. And I've also been behind the scenes as far as engineering and in the music business on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand all of that.
Plus, we had a classmate who was involved in that too.
I'm just saying, I've been behind the scenes on these things, so I understand how things work a little bit more. I've listened, I've watched people in the studios go from the studio, from the booth, to getting contracts signed and everything like that. To be the voice to be like, yo, that dude is going to make something.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an entitlement thing. It wasn't in, they knew they had to work for it. They knew they had to work for it. They were willing to get information. I mm-hmm. watched little Duval walk into our studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this now because I remember it like it was mm-hmm. yesterday. He walked in with an entourage. He said, I'm about to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
We could put y'all on. But you're not only am I willing to listen to you, but you also have to be willing to listen to me.
Okay.
People that were involved with at the time didn't understand the opportunity at the time. Neither did I. I was just following what the leader said at the time. And look where he is right now and where we are.
Mm-hmm. True.
And when I tell you I'm face to face with him like me and you have been.
Right.
Now, he is a humble dude. I can't say was. He is a humble dude. Like, he's down to earth. He's willing to talk to anybody. When you see here, he's jokey-jokey. He is jokey-jokey. But in the back of that jokey is seriousness. If you look at his eyes, he's serious at all times.
Right.
The joke is just to keep people's defenses down. True. Lighten the mood in the air.
That's right.
He knows how to read the room.
And isn't that the most important thing when you're dealing with people in general? That's the
part of it. You have to be flexible.
And then people with sense of entitlement are not flexible.
They're not flexible. They're rigid. They're like glass.
So
you say the wrong thing and they shatter.
Yeah.
You say the wrong thing, they shatter into 100 pieces, trying to pick themselves up. Trust me, I know. I know. I've always been the person to press these people's buttons. Always.
So now, bro, let me ask you a question, though. How did the entitlement affect your relationship with your daughter as far as teaching her certain things?
It's a learning process on both our parts. She's young, and I have to constantly remind myself I was young at one point too.
My bad, people. I'm having to wipe my nose. I'm under the weather, so bear with me.
She's learning, but she's getting it little by little, and I'm glad that she has an open ear. To listen to information, if not just from me, then to other people that are close to me, to get information from.
Right.
She's talked to my wife. She's talked to my cousins and everything like that, which I consider my sisters because we grew up together. Period. So she knows how to get the knowledge, but now we're getting to the point where, like, we're past the elementary stage. We're past the junior high and the high school stage. And now we're moving into the next phase of our lives where we're going into college or we're moving into the world. I can guide you through that. I could tell you what roads not to go down. I could tell you what roads to follow to get to where you need to go.
Right.
My road has not been the best, but I've got a lot of information from it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I have a lot of life experience, and education wise, I'm close to an associate's at this point.
Close to an associate's, or you got a bachelor's degree when it comes to that?
Well, we're talking about regular life knowledge, I'm close to a bachelor's. When we're talking about education wise, that's an associate right there.
Got you.
We're working on the bachelor's. We're getting there little by little.
Facts.
At some point, my street knowledge and life experience is gonna get to a doctorate degree. I'm dead serious in that. It's because I feel like the two intertwine and we don't get credits for the knowledge we learn in the streets. But it's applicable in the business world. It's applicable in the sales world, marketing, all of that. You have to know how to utilize it, period.
Absolutely. And How did raising your child to not be entitled? How, you know, still a work in progress, but how did that enable you to further open her eye, open her mind about what's going on in the world?
The one thing I can say, I don't know if it's translated 100%, but the one thing I can say is she understands there's more than one point of view. She also understands how to, I won't say manipulate the points of view, but she understands the stances and how to utilize that to move forward. She's young. She's still got some learning to do as far as life experience. Who she talks to and who she networks with, they give her tidbits and information and stuff like that, and vice versa. I don't agree 100% with everyone, but she's getting information, so that's a start. You have to get the information. And as you grow, you learn to weed it out. You learn what's genuine, what's intentional, and what is factual, and what is needed. Mm-hmm. Over time, it just becomes second nature to attach those pieces to your lives that move you in a direction where you need to go.
Right. Right. That's what's up, bro. That's what's up, bro. I'm about to get back into this. So, yeah, we talked about a lot about entitlement and how to, we spoke about entitlement in the sense of providing someone an opportunity, how they act as if they're entitled to the position but not willing to put in the effort mm-hmm. to put them to make them attractive to be taken in, to be taught the opportunity because of their lack of ability to be coachable, the lack of ability to be receptive
yes.
to certain training and stuff like that. And that goes into effect when you have a child as well. But it also goes mm-hmm. into effect when you have family members too who are in their egos, into themselves, into their so-called false sense of
security.
False sense of security is false sense of hierarchy.
Right.
In the family. I just believe that that affects everything as well. The only people who have hierarchy is people who've done the most for everybody.
Right.
Not just people who came from the older sibling or whatever you want to call it. The hierarchy is truly from the people who did the most.
I'm gonna interject. Uh-huh. And I think I'm interjecting on the behalf of my aunt. Uh-huh. I don't feel like she feels that way. I feel like she's humble
uh-huh.
and receptive to all the generations.
Uh-huh.
Now she,
sorry guys.
She had her time as far as her growing up, her upbringing, and mm-hmm. how she was raised. She was able to raise, and she's watching others raise
uh-huh.
and enjoying being what you would consider a grandmother.
Uh-huh.
She's enjoying all those aspects, but her view is being humble, uh-huh. being approachable, being touchable
uh-huh.
to all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't affect her in that. This is. I feel like this is where we all need to be at every stage of our lives, where we're accessible.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be. I shouldn't walk through life being like, you're not making the money I make, so mm-hmm. I can't fuck with you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're not doing what I'm doing at this point in my life, so I can't fuck with you. It shouldn't be it shouldn't be that. I know I'm exaggerating the situation, but in essence, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Whether you admit it or not admit it, you're being extra in the situation, and right. there's no need for it. People claim they're family people. People mm-hmm. claim they look out and things like that nature. But when it comes down to it, are you really being humble? Are you being accessible at all points of your life? Are you being accepting of the situation for what it is? You have your own life. Mm-hmm. I don't expect you to help me with my life when I know that you have a life of your own that you need to take care of.
Right.
Whether you have a family, whatever the situation is, if you have kids, you don't have kids, it doesn't make a difference. I can't put my life on hold to extend that hand to you because you're in need at the time right now. I can't drop everything that I'm doing to help you out because I also have a life. I also have responsibilities. I also have things to take care of. If money was in abundance like water, I think I would still be the same way.
No. Let me add to that too, what you just said. Keep in mind, by me helping you, if I have my children too, I'm taking food out of their mouth to help you.
Something that you could do on your own.
Exactly.
Or if should you be able to.
If you made the correct decisions in your life, you wouldn't need my help.
Right.
And that's the point that people seem to forget.
Now, hold on. I'm going to interject one more time.
Okay.
Let's not get it twisted. If you fall on hard times, you fall on hard times.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to ask for a helping hand
right.
in those situations. We're not shaming you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But if it becomes a pattern,
mm-hmm.
and you're expecting
mm.
that
mm-hmm.
every single time you come mm-hmm. to the door and knock on it and ask,
mm-hmm.
that's the issue we're talking about. We're talking about that dependence right there, that entitlement. You feel like I knock on the door, my hand is out, I'm entitled to get something.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're not. You're cut off.
Facts.
You're cut off. It has nothing to do with you. You could be a good person. You could be doing all the right things in life and everything like that. But if you're constantly at the door asking for something you could get on your own, there's something missing there. There's something that you're missing that we need to figure out what it is so we can get you right back on track where you need to be.
I you know what I think? I think there's just some people in this world who are scared of the aspects of the responsibility of being an adult.
That may be true, but there's also people that are so used to the struggle.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go outside of that box. They can't go outside of that box. The struggle is easier. Mm-hmm. Understand this though, Dom. If I'm in the mindset of, you said earlier,
mm-hmm.
being in survival mode. Right. If I'm constantly in the survival mode,
mm-hmm.
to be somewhere comfortable, it's not comfortable for me.
What
so mm-hmm. you may self-sabotage and go back to revert.
Okay.
Unconsciously, you may self-sabotage and go back to, because this is easy. I know how to get in these situations. I know how to move in these situations. I do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I get this, I get that. We're back here.
Let me explain something. Let me give you a counter answer to that question. Is if you're scared to be uncomfortable, that means you don't want to grow.
Yeah. But see, people don't understand that growth. And I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you plainly. I uh-huh. have an ex. I have an ex. My daughter's mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's stuck in that position. She understands having a job. She understands working. She understands that part. She also understands welfare, food stamps, public assistance. She understands that whole structure. Anything outside of that is foreign to her.
Because she comes from an environment, that she's comfortable in. And she operates on the mechanism of comfort.
The comfort is knowing the system. The comfort is knowing how to manipulate the system or make it work in my favor. So I'm going to continue doing this because this structure is working for me. I understand it inside and out. There's nothing anybody could tell me about this that I don't know already. But move her outside of that box and put her in something a little bit more work related, because now you have to work for everything that you have. Now you have to actually take the time out to save. You actually have to take the time out to budget and make sure that you have for every little aspect of your life. You may still be working paycheck to paycheck, but the only person that's going to take you out of that situation from paycheck to paycheck is yourself. Knowing your worth, knowing your education and where you come from, and moving on to the next thing, because you could get more money. If security is your detail, there's other ways to make more money than $9 an hour.
I thought the federal minimum wage is $15 an hour.
I'm just saying.
Okay,
I'm going from the bare minimum, because if you're in the system, they chop that down. They chop your hours down. They chop how many, because you're working through the system. Your check is taken.
Right.
You could work outside of that.
Right.
Got a whole bunch of zeros. Keyboard on top of keyboard is just zero.
Let me tell you something, yo. Each time we get ready to wrap up a podcast, and the conversation gets real interesting each and every time. And it's a credit to both of us. You know, I was kind of distracted during this podcast. I had to take care of some things during the podcast.
That's all good.
With business, you know what I'm saying, with other business and stuff like that. See, when you're an entrepreneur, what people don't realize, and I'm sure you know about that too, since you have your own business with the shirts and apparel and Etsy and all that stuff, being an entrepreneur is 24/7.
Yeah. Even with the social media and all of that.
Yeah. Even building your brand and trying to build your agency that I'm trying to do right now, it's the 24/7 atmosphere, and I'm still working a regular job to hold me down for now until I get to a certain level, certain income level where I can be like, I can just do that full time. Right. I'm not there yet, but I will be there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? This is a goal of mine. But I wouldn't be able to be where I am without believing I'm entitled. You know, I grew up in an atmosphere. I mean, people may dispute it, but when the big dog was alive, and for 32 years of my life, he made sure I was very uncomfortable. He made sure I was very uncomfortable. I was never comfortable when he was patrolling the home.
But there was a reason behind that.
It's the reason that I did not understand at the time. I thought he just hated me. Mm-hmm. But looking back on everything, you compare before he passed and after he passed, he was preparing me for situations that I'm seeing now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, me not being mature enough to see what he saw kind of hurt me in what I'm dealing with now. Granted, I have some family members who said that the way he did things was wrong, but it's easy for them to say that because they were never in his shoes.
Right.
He didn't have to carry someone else's family on his back. Mm. Like the big dog did.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he was one of the people he was carrying too, as a matter of fact.
I can say that my uncle, my father that raised me, he dealt in that same mentality.
Uh-huh.
You gotta give it to you raw. Like I'm gonna put you out there to pasture with the wolves.
Uh-huh.
And I want you to fight for yourself.
Yeah.
There was no emotions as far as like I understand where you're coming from. Like at the time I was like, yo, this dude hates me, bro.
Yeah.
Like I feel like this dude would kill me at any given moment if he had the chance.
Uh-huh.
That's what you felt at the time. Looking at it with adult eyes as we do now, no, it wasn't the ideal way to raise a child. No, it was not. But it was the way they knew how to get through to you and make it stick.
Right.
And help you through whatever you needed to get through, because if you could get through that,
mm-hmm.
you could get through anything.
And part of it is too bad as we start to wrap up the podcast, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind one thing, the way these two men raised us mm-hmm. was based on the environment that we were in and that they felt was toxic.
Right.
They felt it was toxic. Mm-hmm. So in order for us to make sure their direct lines move accordingly,
mm-hmm.
they did not want us to get caught up and see comfort in toxicity.
Or be comfortable in that environment.
Exactly.
Don't be comfortable in this. Matter of fact, don't be comfortable in any environment.
Exactly. That don't fit what you fit.
Right.
So then this is a great podcast, bro. We hit another episode out the ballpark. If people don't understand this episode, then they don't have the mindset to make it in this world. Can we talk about real shit? We're trying to open up people's eyes. This is what the True Players Podcast is all about. Real shit, in your face, up in your face talk, mm-hmm. talk podcast and shit like that. You got to understand where we're coming from.
Right.
Because everybody in this world, God put us on this earth, gave us the gift of life to win.
Period.
Not win, just to settle, but to win and prosper. And this world is not a world of prosperity. It's a world of torment.
Now, my aspect of winning shouldn't be some plateau that you should look up to me.
No.
It shouldn't be that. Like, regardless of my educational background and my achievements scholastically and achievements in life and how my life is moving forward, I'm not standing here on a fucking pedestal for you to sit there and be like, that's the guy I want to be. No, I'm trying to let you know
mm-hmm.
you can walk through life and get all these things, still be humble and still learn from other people and still be willing to teach other people.
Right.
With that same mentality, I could disagree with you wholeheartedly,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I have to respect your point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The same as I look as a Trump supporter, I may not agree with them 100%,
mm-hmm.
but I got to respect the fact that they have a thought process and this is what they chose. And that's how they view it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to be able to change their mindset. That's life. C'est la vie. You know what I mean? That's life. C'est la vie. I'm not going to be able to change your mindset. You're not going to be able to change my mindset. All I can do is respect it, and we can both move on. And hopefully we can live in the same world and understand that we both have a different point of view and move forward. Period.
Right.
That's where life is.
True.
That's where we're supposed to be in life.
Definitely.
I take it back to children.
Mm-hmm.
If my child is messing up with every aspect of his life, I can't sit there and disown the child. I'm not going to give you any love. I'm not going to give you any food, any shelter.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it is, man.
We go on and on.
You know what it is, man.
We go on and on. But the moral of the story is...
We got conversations for days. We got exactly. people that we've worked with. We have people that we went to school with. And we've gotten into disputes and arguments and things of that nature. End of the day, my door is still fucking open.
Got you.
Fuck what you're talking about. You were upset at me at that day. My door is still open.
Hey, it is what it is, right? On that note, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to wrap up on this podcast. Once again, it's a blessing to have Joey G on the podcast and co-hosting. You can listen to the podcast on Anchor, Joey G Radio, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio. And this is your man, Big Dom, signing off for Joey G. We're going to end this podcast. We know we got a lot. We leave a lot on the table right now for this podcast, but we got to go, ladies and gentlemen. It's your man, Big Dom, with Joey G. We're going to sign off for this podcast. Peace.
Peace.